Good afternoon. Today is Friday, August the 10th, 218th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the fire chief of Humboldt Bay Fire Department and proudly wearing the tin, brass, gold. Encrusted.
Gold.
If it was gold, you wouldn't be wearing it.
That's true.
And I wouldn't be in the studio anymore. I'd be running down the street.
That's right.
Ken Woods is alongside. Good afternoon, guy.
How are you?
Well, I'm overheating. How about you?
I'm the same. That ball of fire out there, I was confused at first what it was, but now I think I know.
You did? Oh, you've been asking people again, huh?
Right, I have.
Friends and family?
Yeah.
And,
yeah. They weren't sure either.
Yeah. This afternoon, we'll talk about a couple of different things. Obviously, we are in the middle of fire season. We had some of those lightning strike fires, a big one on 299, a little one on 96. So we'll talk a little bit about that stuff, some of the things that are going on throughout the country. Is it Colorado that's on fire?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's on fire. Okay. Well, right. You know, that Colorado side of the country, it just kind of blends together for a lot of us.
If you say so.
Yeah. Well, today does. In a week and a half, it's just going to look like a long drive, baby.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
We'll talk about that stuff and some of the medical aids that Humboldt Fire has been responding to. More drugs, new drugs, different drugs, or just lots of them? We'll talk about that, too, when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 314. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. But before we do, let's see, we've got a James Brown quote and a Satchel Paige quote. One is known and one is not. Your choice, sir.
How about the unknown?
Okay, we'll go with the James Brown quote then.
Okay.
All right. Live as long as you can. Die when you can't help it. Oh, my. So fire season seems to be in full throttle. I haven't found a fire danger sign or the old Smokey Bear signs before. I guess he became non-politically correct and they took him down. That is not a red alarm.
Yeah.
But we're getting there.
It's rapidly approaching. We're not quite at that stage yet here on the coast, but inland with the extreme temperatures they're having, especially this week, low humidities. Yeah, fire season is in full swing. And as we get a little further east, we're starting to see lightning strikes and fire on 299, the fire's up in 96. And we're going to see a lot more of those, I think, as we just really start to get into the season here.
Now, the one on 96, is that only got 300 acres?
Yeah, I think it was a number of fires.
A bunch of small ones kind of coming together.
Yeah, that actually amounted to about 300 total. But
yeah, is that gone, done, smoldering?
I think there's crews there, but they're in the mop-up process. So for the most part, the main body of the fire is contained and taken care of.
Okay, point of clarity. We're in the middle of the woods on hills. I know you guys aren't using mops. What is the mop-up process?
When you can, have an engine with a water supply where you'll lay in a long hose lay. Could be several thousand feet of hose where you're actually putting water then on the hot spots, whether it's smoldering logs, that type of thing. You are applying water. You're digging up those hot spots. You're cooling them off. And you're really going through just piece by piece, putting out those potential wind-driven embers that could stir up again and cause another fire.
Didn't mean to make you paranoid now about every word you're going to be saying.
Yeah,
you kind of looked like you were concerned over your shoulder there that I might pounce.
But. Well, I had visions of mops out there in the forest, and it kind of scared me.
A little mop and glow on the, yeah. Oh, but they really will go a half mile?
Sometimes to get to the fire, a lot of times within the burn itself, you'll go 100 feet, 150 feet from the edge of the burn work that whole area inside of 150 feet, and you'll put out everything within that 150 feet to make sure the wind picks up, that something doesn't escape and get outside that area. So again, it's working the entire perimeter of the fire itself.
If somebody misses that one ember,
mm-hmm.
and the wind comes up, if it lands in the burnt area,
we're in
is there
shape.
Normally enough stuff there to burn to make it resurrect, or is it going outside the burn and finding fresh?
It's outside the burn area. There are times you'll get burns that are splotchy, you'll say, that, you know, they may burn some grass here, brush here, and then they leave a section, then they jump over and burn some more. And in that case, a lot of times what the fire extinguishing operations will involve is burning those areas out so that you have a fully clean burn area, that when you do have embers inside the burn that start up, there's no fuel for them to burn. So really we're concerned with those that wind picks up and blows them outside the burn areas into new fuel, and then they start new fires.
Not to get into politically sensitive areas, but does that also happen?
You would never do that.
Yeah, not me. inside like the state parks, the national forest lands, things like that, where there are these splotches, will they permit you? Will they allow you to be able to go in and do that stuff? Is that an accepted practice?
Really depends on the location, what kind of protected species, plant life, all those types of things, whether you can use chainsaws or it has to be non-mechanized equipment. There's a lot of rules depending on the specific area. So can't say universally, yeah, we can go in and burn a section off and be finished with it. No, sometimes we can't.
If there's a burned stump or tree, snag.
Right.
You got to whip out the axes and go to town. You can't break out with a chainsaw.
Sometimes,
and drop it?
Absolutely. Where
really?
Chainsaws are not allowed in a particular area, and you are using hand tools to extinguish the fires.
Yeah.
Right.
Coming from one guy who's never going to be a fire guy. Say, okay, fine. We'll leave that one there as a little fuel, and if that's the way you guys play the game, fine. Well, I'm not going to have my guy spend 6 hours or 5 hours cutting down stumps that should take 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it can be a real problem for the fire service out there when you are trying to extinguish a fire. Other fires are starting in other places, and you want to get them extinguished and move on to the next one. But with the restrictions, we have to play by the rules, and we do.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:23. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chief Ken Woods. That's Fire Chief, not to be confused with the empty place across the street from you. Yeah.
They're working on it.
Yeah. It was funny after the show, Merle Harpham, who's the interim police chief, was on Monday. We were talking about when Ray Shipley, who was the police chief, mm-hmm. there was one of these vacancies and went the other way in an attempt to try to consolidate fire and cops.
Oil
yeah,
and water.
That one didn't really last well.
We work well together out there in the field. We'll leave it at that.
So you would not want to be a police chief then either?
No, thank you. No.
Okay. Something no, about bullets?
I've got my hands full now.
Yeah, I would imagine things haven't settled entirely, even though you got the new badge and the new patches and stuff.
Right.
You gonna paint all the trucks the same color eventually?
Through attrition, eventually. Yeah, the new ladder truck that's coming next year will be red on the bottom, black on top, so it'll be a completely different paint scheme for us. Different than the red ones, different than the yellow ones.
Good, so nobody can claim alliance. And, okay.
That's it.
The fires, as you hear them going on throughout the country, the calls, the reports, the news coverage, Ken, when you see some of the things that are going on, like in Oklahoma,
right,
that's far enough away, you're probably never going to get the phone call.
Exactly, no.
But it's still fire guys and gals. It's still a situation with the drought that they're experiencing. You know how tough it is. Is there anything that service or departments throughout the area can do short of sending people to provide the service?
You know, not really. Of course, the National Forest Service will send people across the country. Occasionally, CAL FIRE sends people into some of the surrounding states around California. But aside from those really large organizations, there isn't. But yeah, we see it on the TV, and it's tough. You know, you get those kind of conditions out there where the fire is just running, and there's very little they can do to stop those kind of fires. You see home after home being destroyed. And it's whether you're a firefighter or around the world or right here, you know, you can definitely relate to what they're doing. And you wish you could do more, and you can't. But we have our own area here we need to be conscious of and what we can do to provide protection here. But we know what they're going through.
So there's nothing like the National Guard or those types of things where –
Yeah,
not for the
local government fire service that we have, no.
Well, it was singular, too. That was good.
I'm learning.
Yeah, pay attention to what you say. with the conditions that we have had, there's not been a lot of the wind to dry stuff out. Still tend to have the fog along the coast pretty well.
Right.
That initial buffer to the first mountain ridge. Are we doing okay as far as what it's going to look like in a month or two and whether or not you guys are going to have all these calls?
Yeah, the fire season, you know, really in our area, the immediate area here, didn't open up till July. But it doesn't take much wind at all, a few good days of wind, and things dry out very rapidly. And then once you have that, then the fuel content's high, the relative humidity drops down, and then we very quickly can get fires that grow and extend beyond what we normally see in the area when we're in our foggy pattern.
I just figured it out. I mean, how often do each of us water our plants on the back deck?
There you go.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
Because they dry out. Yeah, after a day or two.
The wind has a way of doing
okay.
that.
Okay, I'm with you now, man.
Very rapidly. And that's why you see, you know, in some of the fires in Southern California where people are spraying down their roofs ahead of the fire, that as soon as the wind's on those roofs, that roof is instantly dried out, and it's almost a lost cause of no point in doing that at all.
When leaves start to fall off of trees,
mm-hmm.
is that a signal for you guys that things are drying out or things are starting to turn? Do those that aren't redwoods and pines, when those leaves are down, do they add to fuel, or do because they trap moisture, are they actually maybe a helper to keep down?
They'll add
things?
to fuel on the ground because they do. Once they drop off, they are drying out immediately on the ground. More for us is the grass conditions where once the grass starts drying out, then that's that bottom layer of fuel, and the fire starts there and can run from there into the brush and then higher up into the trees and work its ladder way up into the really big fuels that you'll see with the pine trees and firs, those types of things.
Do Monterey pines burn more rapidly than redwood trees?
I would say probably the pines, absolutely, than the redwoods. You know, the redwoods are pretty resistant to fire and insects, and they do very well. And when we do get a redwood trees on fire here, it tends to contain itself somewhat. It's concentrated in the tree itself. It doesn't necessarily spread out real far from there. But pine trees, yeah, they do have dry out, and they can jump from tree to tree.
Throw in a little bit of wind.
Right.
Yeah, it's rock and roll time.
Yep, exactly.
Same with landscaping bushes? Do they tend to...
Depends on the kind of landscaping.
I'm thinking like rhodies and the azaleas and that kind of stuff that's pretty prevalent.
Yeah, some of them have so much moisture in them that it's real tough to, you know, you need an awful lot of heat and wind to get them to go and then to extend into the surrounding vegetation. But it really depends on the type of brush you have. And, of course, you know, when you're looking at manzanita in Southern California on the hillsides there. Then
it's called kindling.
Yeah. it's like fireworks, yeah.
And it all doesn't go up in 5 seconds. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The research has tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humble Bay Fire Chief Ken Wood. Ken, as you consider some of the stuff that's still out there, some of those projects, you got the fire boat that I get excited about. I think probably just because it's different.
Right.
I think it's so cool.
Yeah.
And I want a boat. with some of the challenges at the state, is the funding still in place? Are you going to be able to get, maintain, and then keep the fire boat, or is that subject at all to what's going on at the state?
Well, fortunately, you know, the fire boat came through a grant to the Harbor District, and they are going to be paying the majority of the maintenance on the boat. We'll be staffing the boat for emergency responses. So that's really the only way that we could actually have a fire boat here. As standalone for the city and the fire district side, we couldn't afford to keep a fire boat and maintain it by ourselves.
Historically, it was Eureka's, right?
Right, correct.
So when the fires would happen on the docks over in Samoa when the mills were running,
mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm asking you this because you weren't here, but I'll ask you.
I don't know either, so... But go ahead.
When the response occurred, would the fire department cover the whole thing, or
sure.
would the mills then say thank you very much and do something at least to pay for the water that was used or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure the specifics. You know, for instance, we have agreements where, for instance, with the PG&E plant for confined space rescue. And it's not something we normally do, but we have agreement with them. They pay a monthly fee to us to provide rescue services. And, again, it's not something that's a normal discipline that we do. We do have the capability, but it's a separate contract, and we'll take care of that them for them. And it could be a similar arrangement that they had back then with the boats. But mutual aid is statewide in the state of California, and we're constantly either providing it to our neighbors, they're coming to us for fire protection, whether we're going to Arcata and sending them an engine, they're coming this way, we're going down south, similar things.
What would happen if there was a fire incident in the North Bay? Can you get there with a fireboat?
This new one will draft, I think it's 28 inches at rest. So
high tide, you're okay to
go.
Yeah,
this boat should be able to get in an awful lot of places that weren't accessible before. So that's a huge capability. And then just to have the fire pumps on it and the monitors that are very capable than what we've ever had before. The speed of the boat, this boat, from what I've been told, really moves along.
Pin your ears back, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's huge when you're dealing with a boat fire because they go quickly. And if you can get there quickly and mitigate the problem, then you're
fuel, dry wood.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's it.
All
and wind.
The fun things are there.
Wind. Right, right.
I know you guys have a huge percentage of responses that are medical-based.
Correct.
With a fireboat, is there any medical base or response, or is that the Coasties and others that don't involve you guys?
Yeah, the medical side would involve, for instance, drownings, suicide attempts off the bridge, those types of things where, you know, the Coast Guard really is responsible for outside the bay, and they're not so much responding inside. The sheriff's has a boat, but with this new boat coming in and being docked at Whidley Island, as soon as we receive the dispatch, we'll send one of our engines there immediately, and they'll get on the boat, and we'll be able then to get to someone who's in distress in the bay and provide medical care. So this is...
I was thinking more along the lines of heart attack.
Yeah.
Not taking headers off the bridge.
Yeah. Okay. If, for instance, someone has a heart attack on a boat and they're on their way in, we can definitely go out and meet them and provide care immediately, wherever they may be, as opposed to them all having to come all the way in and then get off the boat and wait for them on shore, that type of thing.
Will you cross the bar?
We're not planning on it. We're not planning on making a regular habit of it. Again, that's really the Coast Guard's area out there. Should we have a special circumstance? Yeah, I'll say we would probably do that with the Harbor District's pilots, of course, piloting the boats out there.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Boy, you just accepted that one so quickly.
It's their boat.
Yeah. You also realized you just stepped in it. Yeah, that's what, three of them so far?
Only three?
Yeah. How often are you going to be able to drill on the fireboat?
When it arrives, which may be next week, we anticipate weekly drills on the boat and getting everybody used to operating the firefighting equipment. And we will have some of our personnel trained to actually operate the boat when the pilots are not available. So, again, it's going to be a steep learning curve at first. And then as we get people up to speed, then that'll slow down. And particularly as well with the weather, too, then that'll somewhat limit our ability to get out there and train as much with it.
Is the fireboat a floating fire truck?
Essentially, it is. It has the same pumps that our fire engines have, carries the same medical equipment. We'll have air packs on it. All those same pieces of equipment that we carry on our fire engines, we're going to have on the boat.
So there's a lot of transferable skills.
Exactly. Yeah. Whether you're, doing on land or the water, it's the same skills.
We'll talk about the fire copter in a couple of weeks. KINS, News and Information Time. Yeah, start that rumor right
Thanks,
now.
Huh? Yeah.
You betcha. 3:42, we'll be back with our friend, Ken Woods.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with the current chief of Humble Bay Fire.
That didn't sound good. Maybe I do need that fire copter.
Yeah, yeah. Ken, with this time of the year, there always seems to be an influx of interesting people. I know it seems like I'm hearing the ambulances and the fire trucks running more frequently. I'm not seeing fire reports, so I'm presuming medical aid responses.
Right.
Has there been a bump in the last little bit?
It's pretty steady for us, actually, on the medical side. We haven't had a lot of fires in the last few weeks, but the bulk of what we do is medical calls. And again, whether it's an older population, drug problems, drug issues, people are calling 911 for more and more things all the time. And we respond. Somebody asks for help, we get out there and we're going to see what we can do to help them. But the medicals are a huge percentage of what we do. And again, it's much wider range of problems than you'd see before, where in the past, primarily the big ones were heart attacks, falls, those types of things. And now it's a wider range of issues, and from seizures to people calling, even for minor things where they may sprain an ankle and they call the fire truck and call the fire department for assistance. And our dispatch does a very good job of screening those calls as much as they can, but it's all based on the information they get from the caller.
I wouldn't think the troops would be all that tickled. They come running hard.
Yeah.
Pull up.
Right.
And I've rolled my ankle.
Right.
There might be a fire. unless somebody is frail.
Right.
Okay, or something like some extenuating circumstances.
Right.
Boy, I would be livid.
We're there to help people. That's what we want to do. That's why we're employed, and that's really the heart of, I think, all the firefighters that we have. That's why they got into the business. But at times it does get discouraging when people seem to take advantage of the system.
Well, and if you're running with lights and the whole nine yards.
And putting our firefighters at jeopardy, just the driving portion, which is huge. And firefighters are killed every week in the United States from vehicle accidents. And it's always a threat. It's always a concern out there. And, you know, it's bad enough when you're going to a fire and you're trying to get there quickly. But if you're going code 3 lights and sirens to what you think is a legitimate medical call and it turns out to be something that is not significant at all, doesn't require that level of response, you know, that's tough. And if we do hurt one of our own firefighters or somebody else in the response, you know, nobody wants to do that at all.
Are all the intersections in the area, and I'll just say the area, responsive to when you guys go through and you hit the button and it converts it over and gives you guys the run through?
No. Yeah, they are not. There's a select number that are, and we're working to add more to those within the city and also the fire district itself. But most of the intersections are not, and we call it an OPTCOM system, where there's a flashing infrared strobe light on the vehicle that will hit a detector at a signal, then it changes the light to green in the apparatus's direction. But the majority, no, we're coming up to a red light and we're not just rolling through it, we're stopping, checking vehicles coming either way, and then we'll proceed once it's safe. But we just have to take that precaution every time.
Is it really expensive to outfit?
Very expensive, yeah.
That probably explains that.
It's very expensive, yeah. Right.
Okay. Well, hopefully no code threes this weekend. sunburns this weekend either, right?
We'll stay away from that, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
No chance.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you at 6:00.